It's Monday, and it's time again for another episode of the Fattening of America. I'm Matty V. Thank you for tuning in each and every week and checking out what I have to say. Boy, can't believe that in 2 weeks I am going to be in New Jersey. I've never been before, never been to the East Coast. And I will be going to the Asbury Park Comic Con with my oldest son. It's going to be a weekend trip, just the guys. And yes, we will be going to the Comic Con and then heading to Red Bank, of course, to jam Silent Bob's Secret Stash to check that place out, and then we will also be going to Leonardo, New Jersey, and because I want to get some photos. I'm not going to be in New Jersey that close to where Clerks was filmed and not get a picture of the Quick Stop and RST video. From where we're staying, it's only like a 15-20 minute drive. I'm definitely going to do that. My wife hates me that every time we plan to go somewhere, I always have to look to see what movies have been filmed in and around there. Last summer, we went to Legoland in Schaumburg, Illinois. So I did a lot of research and took a lot of photos of filming locations from the films you might remember, such as The Breakfast Club, Weird Science, 16 Candles, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, Home Alone. A lot of those filming locations were right around where we were staying. So on the way back, we stopped by a lot of places to get pictures. And my wife hated it that I did that. And then afterwards, when she saw the pictures, she was like, yeah, that's kind of cool. You know, you can go in there and see the movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off and see the stairs where Sloane and Mr. Rooney are waiting for her quote-unquote father to show up. To pick up from school, so I got that shot of the stairway. I got pictures of the outside, the exterior shots of Shermer High School from the Breakfast Club, which is now an Illinois State Police post. We couldn't get up close because it said no trespassing, but I was able to park and get some pictures of the outside of it. So it's kind of neat. And yeah, now that I'm going to be in New Jersey and I'm going to be around where Kevin Smith lived, I can't miss being 20 minutes away from Clerks, from where Clerks was filmed to get a picture. So I'm definitely going to do that. Not sure if I'm going to do that on Saturday or if we're just going to do that on Sunday on our way out of town. It's going to be a long haul for me. 13 hours total. I think, and that's if you don't stop. If we stop, it's going to be probably a good 14 or 15 hours. But it's the longest I've ever driven by myself. I'm hoping that my friend Jay can come along and help break up that monotony a little bit. But I'm excited to do that. It's going to be a lot of fun. It'll be a time for my oldest and I just to get away and spend some time together and share with him one of my loves growing up, and that was comic books. I used to have like four long boxes just chock full of comics, but once I got close to getting married, just like with my CD collection and my movie collection, it needed to get pared down as we sold off stuff to prepare for our new life together. I did keep two short boxes filled with comics that I felt not only were close to my heart because they were given to me, but they were also dear to me because it was a comic book that I loved, comic book characters that I loved and wanted to keep. Like, for example, I have pretty much the early run of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from issue 4 up through issue 30. I believe that I have the rare cover of issue, I think it was like 5 or 6. They were recalled because there was something wrong with the cover. I can't recall what the recall was for, but now they're saying that there's less than 1,000 out there, and I believe I have one of those. I've got Killing Joke. I bought it off the shelf, bagged it, boarded it, never opened it, never read it. Until recently, with the Comic Book Man, I had no idea what it was all about. I just, a friend of mine was a huge collector, and he says, "Hey, you need to pick up this book." So I picked it up and never read it. A lot of my comics I've never read. I just bagged them and boarded them because I was saving them, knowing that they would be worth something down the road. I have like the 4-issue series of Batman the Cult, never open. Lone Wolf and Cub, the complete series, bagged, boarded, put away. Grips was an independent series. I have the entire run of Grips and never read any of those, put those away just because those were going to be of some value in the future. I've got X-Men, I've got The Nom, I've got Daredevil, She-Hulk. I've got a lot of Silver Age comics that I've got X-Factor, I've got Wolfpack, I've got I've even got really quirky one-offs, like there's this one independent book, it was called The Bushido Blade, it was a Tochi Walrus. It was about a blind walrus. It was about the time where the turtles started taking off. So a lot of these independent comic book artists wanted to quickly put their one-offs out there, hoping that it would be picked up by people who love Turtles, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, so they got that. It was another one I had, prepubescent, mildly microwaved, Kung Fu Gophers, I think it was. It was just another cheesy knockoff of the whole Turtles craze that was happening around the late 80s. I've got, you know, a Donatello one-shot. I think I got a Michelangelo one-shot. I've got How to Draw Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles that somebody had, an independent company had put out in comic book form. They put together this book on how to draw Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, their faces, their weapons, their bodies, that whole deal. But comics were a part of my life growing up because one of my best friends was into comics, and of course I wanted to get closer to him, and the one way to do that was to be interested in the things that he was interested in. So it, for us, it was comic books. We were able to talk about comics, draw comics, you know, all that kind of stuff. He's a better drawer than I am, but that just gave us one more thing to be connected. So I think going to this comic book convention, sharing that with my son, will be a good thing, because then we can just take that moment and I could share with him some of the joys that I had growing up. I was about his age when I started getting into comic books like my friend. But my friend had been collecting for years and years and years, and I'm sure that he's still collecting to this day. It always blew my mind that he would work at McDonald's and spend almost his whole paycheck every Thursday at the comic book store buying, you know, his weekly allotment of comics. He would have the comic book shop pull comics for him, so you'd just come in and pay and walk out the door. But yeah, when I knew him, he had 12 to 16 long boxes hidden in a closet because his parents, he didn't want his parents to know that he had that many comic books. I don't know what he's got now, whether or not he sold off his collection or if he's continuing to do so. I haven't talked to him in years, which is kind of unfortunate, but hey, life goes on. There are people in your life that are there for a specific period of time, and when they're gone, they're gone. You can't mourn what you had with them. You just got to look at it and be thankful for the time that you did have with them. But yeah, it was. It's going to be an interesting trip. I'm excited to just see how the comic industry has changed. Maybe be shocked at some of the comic books and toys and stuff that are collector's items that I remember being on the store shelves when I was younger. You know, getting that, I don't know, that shock of classic. And I don't know what age that is that you start to feel a little bit old because a song that you remember hearing first on the radio, being all over the airwaves, is now on a classic rock station, or going to a museum. Yeah, it's something we did yesterday. My wife and I went to a museum here in big city, the big city, Grand Rapids. We went to the public museum because they have the Titanic exhibit, and I got my wife tickets for her birthday because she was interested in the Titanic, and we went and had a good time. But to see one of the museum displays with toys through the ages, and looking at it and seeing Star Wars figures that I have at home, or a Trivial Pursuit game that I have at home, sitting in a museum case, just, you know, kind of such a side, I guess, is, man, you know, time does fly. I guess I'm getting a bit older, and you know, those gray hairs aren't accidents, you know, that you're actually getting older, as it were. I don't know how to explain it, but you know what I mean. You know what I mean. But this weekend as well, I went to men's breakfast with a friend of mine, and the message was talking about prayer. And I'm a Christian. I don't apologize for it, but I'm not going to push it on you if you're not open to it. You know, I respect if you're a Muslim or follow another religion. I'm not going to put you down and say, well, you're wrong. You're going to hell, whatnot. If you're interested in hearing what I have to say, I'll be glad to share it with you, but I'm not going to push it down your throat. But anyway, the talk was on prayer, and over the weekend, I thought about something that wasn't discussed per se at the meeting, but it was one thing that I experienced, and I wrote a blog post on it today. You could go to my blog; it's maddiestribe.wordpress.com. You can check that out. But it was called, I titled it "Fishing Prayers." And a couple of months ago, somebody had emailed me and said, hey, I really need some prayer. They shut off my utilities, and I'm really having some financial struggles. And, you know, I could just really use some prayer in peace and whatnot. And when I got that, I had a feeling that it was fishing, that it was fishing for something other than prayer. So I took some time and I prayed, and I emailed the person back and says, hey, you know, you're in my prayers. I'm praying that God would help you through this financial struggle, and, you know, you need to trust in Him and know that He will take care of you, and you know, that blessings will come, and if you need to talk about it, feel free to give me a call or send me an email. I'll be happy to talk with you. And I never heard back from the person, see. And because I didn't take the bait. And you may be asking, well, what do you mean? What's the bait? Well, you see, if I would have emailed back and said, oh, I'm so sorry this has happened to you, what can I do to help? That would have brought in the hook right there. And the next email probably would have said something, well, you know, to get my utilities turned back on, I need $100, and I don't have $100, and, you know, I haven't been working very much because there's a lot of politics going on at my work, and they just aren't giving me the hours that I need to survive, and blah, 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 this, that, and the other thing. So that $50 or $100 would really help me get my utilities back on, and this, that, and the other thing. Well, you see, you give them that $50 or $100, they've got you pegged. Okay, this person's a sucker. I'm going to know then the next time that I get into a financial bind of my own doing that I can contact this person and maybe get some more money down the road. I'm not saying that you shouldn't help somebody who's in need financially or otherwise, but when you do, there should be this feeling that you should do it. You have this urge, this nudge, saying yes, you need to help this person. You've been blessed with what you've got. It's time that you share it with somebody else. But while I was praying about it, while I was thinking about it, that whole time I didn't get anything other than you just need to pray for this person. And I feel that if there was such a huge desperate need, and if it was true, plea for help, that there would be this urge, there would be this feeling that, yes, I need to do something, I need to help out, help this person out as much as I can. But I didn't get that. And it bore out, because after I said, hey, I'm praying for you, if there's anything that I can do for you, let me know, if you want to talk about it, whatever, I never heard back from that person. It's already been almost three months since I sent that response. So obviously this person wasn't looking for prayer. They were looking for a handout. And I'm glad that's the way it bore out. I feel sorry for this person, but, you know, you gotta take care of business. And some of the things that were explained to me, it sounded like they dug themselves into this hole and weren't willing to take responsibility for it and say, hey, I effed up. You know, it was always somebody else's fault. It's my work's fault because they aren't giving me enough hours. It's the utility's fault because they didn't give me enough notice or whatever. But no, they didn't want to take responsibility for their situation, but rather chose to blame others, and that's not a way to live, for sure. So yeah, phishing prayers. I don't know if you've ever run across something like that. I pray you never do, because it's not a good situation to be put in. I think people use religion for nefarious purposes. You know, flipping through the channels, I happened to see the other day on some religious channel, you know, if you send in a seed of $150, you're going to get it 100-fold back. You know, you need to do this, and God's asking you to do this, and that, this, that, and the other thing. Well, you know, if God was asking me, He would have told me what to do with that money instead of sending it to you. You know, it's stuff like that that just gives Christians a bad name. And it makes me sad more than anything else. You know, if they would be honest and say, hey, you know, we want to run this ministry, we need your help, please send us money, instead of promising that money will come back to you tenfold or hundredfold or thousandfold or whatever that particular program was pushing. That's just wrong. That's deceiving people. And I don't blame those who have been burned by religious leaders in that way, that they would, you know, turn away from God. It's sad to say, but I don't blame them, and I just pray over them and ask that the Lord would just reveal Himself to them and help them get past the bad seed that gave them a bad taste in their mouth as far as religion goes. But Wow, we're coming up on 20 minutes here. Yikes. Again, visit my blog, Matty's Tribe, MattyStribe, .wordpress.com. I post on there daily, sometimes a couple times a day, to make up for lost time. But until next time, until next week, this is Matty V saying we'll see ya.